Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Talking Utilities. As always, I'm your host, Ben Lind. So, in a week where the Big Six have made the headlines again for all the wrong reasons, most notably price hikes, I wanted to bring a little bit of joy to the podcast and give a platform to a very interesting startup called Surple, S-U-R-P-L-E, Surple. I was joined by Peter Allen. Peter is the MD and founder at Surple, a company that are on a mission to improve energy efficiency and improve customer engagement through their bespoke platform. Now, I really enjoyed hearing about their journey so far. There's four of them. They are truly, truly, truly at the very beginning of their startup journey, but they are a very interesting company. They're doing what I think is some very important things. It was a very interesting chat, and I wish Peter and the team all the very best for the future. So with no further ado, please welcome Peter Allen from Surple. Okay, so joined on Talking Utilities today by Peter from Surple. Peter, how are you doing today? You okay?
Yeah, all good. Thanks, Ben. Very well, and you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. Really well. Glad it's Friday, but it's been a productive week. It certainly has. How about yourself?
Yeah, very good. Very good. Busy with customers, so it's all good in that respect.
That's one of the best ways to be busy, I find.
That and the social time as well.
Absolutely. So for anyone who's not familiar with you, Peter, do you all right just giving us a quick rundown of sort of who you are, what you do, what Surple is?
Sure, yeah. So I'm MD of Surple. We build energy engagement software. What that means is we help large organizations, commercial landlords, property portfolios to optimize their energy use. We're a small team, there's four of us, and we're based out of sunny South Wales in Newport.
Lovely.
So that's it.
Excellent. Well, I was really glad to sort of have the opportunity to have you come on the show, because we've had a lot of your more like traditionally well-established companies, like from the Big Six and some water authorities and things like that. But I also think it's really important that we give a bit of a spotlight to some of the younger companies, to some of the startups that are in the scene. So how did the idea for Surple actually come about?
Yeah, so we formed through a program through the Alacrity Foundation. And the model there is giving graduates an opportunity to start a software business. They give you industry partners, and you kind of find a problem in industry. We are software developers as a team. I guess we don't have a distinct energy background between us, but we kind of spotted an error with kind of how software was being developed in this space, and we wanted to happen upon that. The problem we were working on was with the public sector, with one of the councils locally to us, and they found it difficult to manage energy at scale. Because a lot of energy management platforms, and none in particular, but a lot of them just don't have that user. Those user principles they're not designed for lots of people to use. They're designed for energy managers. They're designed for people in the energy industry. And we're coming from an outside perspective. We're thinking, how does someone managing a school, a head teacher, for example, or a caretaker, how do they understand energy in that building? So we thought that was a really nice starting point. I think we've developed a lot since then, but that's how we kind of started. We actually applied for an Innovate UK bid around non-domestic smart metering innovation, which is a bit of a mouthful.
Metering innovation.
Yes. So it was a fun time writing a bid. Not done that before, so it was very interesting. We didn't actually get the bid, but we thought the project was worthwhile kind of pursuing, and now it's a business. So we've been running. I guess we incorporated back in January of last year. And we were then building the product for about 6 months to MVP, and now we're probably 6 to 7 months in terms of business.
Excellent. Excellent. And what's the journey been like so far?
It's an interesting one. I think the main thing is how complex the energy industry is. So many players. There's so many people who want different things at different levels. And I think for us, it was probably that first 6 months. I spent a lot of my time just going out and talking to people from all kind of different sections of the market. It was, from consumer all the way back to the grid, figuring out who is the right person to talk to in this space when we're talking about energy engagement and what are the purposes you'd want to do it. Is it just for reducing bills, or is there a bigger purpose to this? So it was definitely been a challenging journey, but it's been something I mean we're still on that journey, I think, and it's something we're every day is a learning experience, I think. Mm-hmm. talking to suppliers is fascinating around how you've got a lot of different suppliers doing lots of different interesting things. But even they don't have all the answers. And I think that's what's so exciting about the industry. And I think the other thing is we're all working towards kind of a common goal in a way. It's I think we all know that there is a push towards renewables. There's a push towards clean energy, and whatever that definition means to you. But I think with that common goal, there's a lot of collaboration going on. And that's the thing I find really exciting about the industry in itself.
Yeah, I would completely echo that. I mean, I think that the need for greater collaboration has kind of really come to the front over the last couple of years, especially as people are looking to drive engagement through something other than price. I think that increasingly you can set yourself apart by the service that you deliver to your customers and sort of how well you engage them. And I think that anyone who's kind of been around the energy or utility space for a while wouldn't be wouldn't deny the fact that engagement's not really been what they would have liked it to have been. People are very cynical, people are very jaded, and we've seen them looking to industries such as financial for better ways in which to interact with those customers. I want to go back to something that you said a couple of minutes ago, Peter, because I think it was really, really interesting, is that you were saying this whole thing came about from sort of being able to take more of a, like an outsider's view at the market and sort of have that more like holistic view of it as a whole and put yourself into the different stakeholders within the energy journey's footsteps and think about what's important to them and what their challenges might be. It must be very advantageous then to have that sort of vision and sort of way of looking at things and apply it to your own business as well.
Yeah, it was. It was fascinating just starting off, just being able to go around and the council we're working with really opened the doors in terms of who we can speak to about energy. It was initially starting off talking to the energy manager, talking to carbon reduction officers in different parts of the council, and then it turned to who's actually managing energy in this small building that the council owns, but there's no one in that building who actually has a responsibility for energy, and it's about finding out where that accountability lies, who has to, who's the one switching the lights off when they leave the office, that kind of thing. So getting those people involved in the early conversations is where we've really benefited. It's been kind of really consumer. People talk about you call it a skateboard. It's how Spotify build their products. They find a test market and they really get all the answers from them before they start. So it's something we really focused on, that kind of consumer design principles, getting their input in what we're doing. And I think that's really benefited the product, but also benefited the people that are working with us as well.
Absolutely. No, I mean, it's really good to hear. I mean, we sort of are forever drumming the importance of user research and sort of building to what the spec of your users will be rather than just sort of what you think the market needs or what you think might be interesting. And also sort of not being afraid of getting something out there quickly that ultimately proves or disproves the concept before you start to add all the bells and whistles on.
Yes, yeah, we've definitely, I think everyone, it's a bit of a cliche, but you should be embarrassed of your first product. And in Venice, we were. And so that's a benefit when you're building a new company, and you can be in that position of kind of trying to adapt as much as possible. We're doing it constantly. Yeah, so it's a nice position to be in, I think, not having the tie of, we've found investment. So we're in a position where we are comfortable to be able to try and test out what we can do to grow our business in the best way possible.
Absolutely. So I want to go to the website now. As I was having a little bit of a look at what you guys do in the build-up to you coming on the show. So you talk on the website about engaging customers and increasing transparency in a way to sort of create sustainable businesses. Are you all right to just sort of quickly take us through each of those points?
Yes, yeah. So actually, interestingly, the website is actually going to be due for a refresh in the next 1 to 2 weeks. So it might be a bit different if you're listening to this and going on there. But in terms of what you're saying, it was around improving efficiency, engaging customers. We've kind of tweaked those words into three more simple concepts. Is around identification. Mm-hmm. So in doing that, we have a data monitoring and tracking platform that allows you to understand the energy use in your buildings. That's just kind of identifying and finding out where there is waste in your business. The second is engaging. So like you say, engaging customers, but also engaging people within the business, whether it's your boss who is just putting pressure on you as an energy manager to reduce bills, whether it's the person on the factory floor, engaging that person. So there's lots of different elements of engagement that we have. And it's, I guess there's many different aspects to it. If we work with brokers or with consultants, then we're engaging their customers as well. So that's another side of it. I guess increasing transparency and sustainable businesses, that's kind of where we look at impact. And that side of it is focused on reducing bottom line. But there's so many other factors that come into that. You know, I think it's, we used to have a little phrase around turning energy into an advantage. And I think it's seen as such a burden for a lot of companies. So making energy a bit more entertaining, but also a bit more valuable in terms of giving people the opportunity to understand it, giving people the opportunity to, one of the things we do through our platform is allow people to switch their home energy bills through our platform. So that's a really nice side product. We work with another company on that called Big Clean Switch, and that's something it's been an employee benefit. Mm-hmm. You know, any customer we work with, we allow them to switch. That's great for them and great for the company as well. So it's those kind of different ways of engaging and creating an impact, which actually full circle help people to drive energy efficiency in their business.
Excellent. And do your methods of engagement change depending on who it is that you're trying to engage with? And if so, how?
They do. The basis of our our behavioural change aspect of the platform and engagement one of our board advisors is a professor called Professor Lorraine Whitmarsh. She's from Cardiff University. She's a behavioural psychologist in climate change and energy. She's brilliant, and her methods of engagement have kind of really been embedded in our platform. So whether it's something like as simple as gamification and incentivization, great. But the other side of that is looking at how we target things like behavioural spillover. So when you are asking someone to change their habits in one way, how else does that affect someone's ability to do something else? So if you're asking someone to, if the content that we're feeding to individuals is around switching lights off in buildings, then are they taking that on with them? And are they? And it's about creating kind of energy personas of people. In essence.
Yep, that makes total sense. So to move away from, I suppose, how... No, sorry, move away from what it is and what it does, to touch on sort of like how it works, I suppose, on a more technical side of it. Like, how is the platform itself put together?
Yeah, so I guess we've come at it from from an outsider perspective and thought this data is kind of open. I say it's open, it's not always as open as you'd like the data to be. So sitting on top of energy meters can be a difficult job if you're having to go through third parties, whether it's a data collector or whether it's a supplier. Building those relationships is a challenge for us, really. So it's been a focus on building other ways of doing that as well, so looking at more granular data. We work with metering partners, IoT vendors. So when we are able to go into companies, we can say, what's your infrastructure look like? How can we sit on top of that? Whether that's through automated emails, whether that's through FTPs, APIs, any way we can, we want to access that data because that's the key thing to drive kind of behavioural change for us. The real aspect of it is, I guess, the data analytics and what you're talking about there. We work on a modelling around R, and that's the coding language you use for that. It's looking at how we engage staff members. We built an engagement platform which runs alongside the monitoring analytics platform. Mm-hmm. And that includes things like, it's basically it's a training and awareness platform. So it gives staff the ability to engage with regular and relevant content around their organization. The key there is making things hyper-relevant, whether it's someone in a specific kitchen, they need to understand the energy use in their kitchen. They don't want to understand the energy use in the whole resort or whatever it is they're working in. So it's making that link for people to understand the data that they're impacting upon, as well as feeding them content to train them and make them more aware of the actions they could be taking to act in a more efficient but also more sustainable way for themselves and for the business.
So like educating them, but also empowering them to not only understand the difference that the change would make, but also helping them to make that change as well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it then comes down, we have elements of gamification like leaderboards on energy performance in terms of different kitchens, or leaderboards and energy performance in terms of how much engagement there is with the platform. And so if you are a user, as say, as a member of a kitchen team, and you have access to the platform, it's all web app based, so you can use, and mobile optimized, so you can use it wherever you want to use it. But if you're engaging more regularly, you're going to get a higher score, you'll be at the top of the leaderboard, and that's where companies can really make the difference by incentivizing those opportunities. You know, it comes back to them, and if they're able to incentivize it enough that people stay engaged, then there's you're bound to find reductions in your energy use in that building.
Yeah, and have you seen so far that sort of a certain level of engagement is equal to a certain amount of improvement in awareness or behavior when it comes to energy reduction?
I think it's a really interesting. It's a really interesting space around proving ROI in this space. And I think that, again, that's where we saw the opportunity was there's a lot of behavior change campaigns out there. Mm-hmm. But someone comes in, runs a behavior change campaign, and then it might dissipate. It might disappear into the ether. And for us, it was about creating an always-on software solution to allow people to stay engaged and allow them to also then track that through their energy meters, be able to show them their own data. So it's an interesting point. I guess we're very early on in our development, so having an actual ROI figure is that's our constant kind of, we're striving for that all the time. But I think for us, it started around the ideas of, you know, talking to likes of the Big Six, and there's a lot of work around behavior change in that space, and it's talking between 5 to 20% reduction in your energy consumption. And that's huge, you know, for someone who's spending £3 million a year, that's a huge amount taken off their bottom line. So that's where we were looking at the targeting. But like I say, turning energy into an advantage there's other benefits there. There's an element of CSR, there's an element of, you know, how do we get people to be more engaged with the company as well? And that's kind of another aspect of what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I think you're right. It goes sort of beyond only the financial impact that things like this will have, but also, you know, it starts to take into account the environmental impact. And obviously, like, companies aren't just under financial pressure to perform. They're under, you know, environmental pressure as well from, you know, different regulatory bodies to make sure that they're doing what needs to be done to, you know, secure a sustainable future, essentially. You mentioned there, Peter, that you'd spoken to, I suppose, differing parties of the Big Six as part of your user research. Can you take us through in a bit more detail sort of the types of research that went into the platform?
Yeah, so I think, like I said, in the early stages, it was just about getting out there and speaking to people. And I think one of our first motives was to just make energy management a bit sexier in terms of making a more user-friendly platform to look at your energy data and analyze it. But then when we went out and started speaking to more people, we started realizing the kind of the opportunity around behavior change. And that, I don't think at the time there wasn't a solution to solve behavior change in companies. There were a lot of people trying, whether it was through short nudges and using nudge theory to tempt people into switching lights off, whether it's stickers by light switches, mm-hmm. things like that were going on. And we thought there has to be a more scalable solution to this. So I think we have had a lot of input in terms of, you know, we've had, like I said, it's a collaborative industry. If we want to go talk to one of the Big Six, and we have had opportunities to being in conversations with some of their, you know, behavior change experts, just finding out what are the kind of the issues there. I mean, it comes down to two or three different things, but it's you know, technology, processes, and people. And we kind of wanted to build a platform that could encompass all three of those.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you've obviously tapped into like this growing appetite for renewable energy, and one of your main goals is to help companies become more sustainable. So do you guys sort of have other ways, so outside of, as you say, like just reminding people to sort of turn lights off and things like that, does the platform go into a bit more detail in helping companies become more sustainable?
Yeah, so I mean, at present, we are just looking at energy and energy data, so electricity and gas data. For us, it's an interest to look at water data. Waste data is, as we have found out, a really difficult thing to monitor. And at such a small stage, we thought we'd stick with the electricity and gas and water as the next step. But there's elements of our platform. So in terms of commercial landlords, based around how do you raise issues? If you have one central energy manager in a portfolio, they're going to really struggle to manage where they should be going to, how they should prioritize issues. So there is an element around issue raising, and that's something we've found to be quite, especially if you look at we're working on a project with schools across the Newport area, and they want to be in contact with the carbon reduction officer for schools. But it means calling him all the time. It means it's a constant struggle. So if he had a platform where he can just see which schools are raising issues, whether it's an energy issue, whether it's a water issue, a waste issue, that's something that we have built into the platform for that exact reason. You know, energy is our core focus, but there is always going to be more tagged onto that. And it's how do we help those people with the responsibility to do the jobs they should and need to be doing.
Yeah, so I suppose like within that, there's going to be an element of sort of highlighting to them what the priority cases are going to be, and sort of not leaving it to them to sort of have to, I don't know, wade through a lot of different site information and find out where they should be looking. But your platform will just highlight the areas that are going to need their attention the most.
Yeah, so it's kind of crucial for the admin side and the management of tasks. It just gives them another way of looking at their kind of portfolio and understanding where the most urgent issue might be, whether it's a huge water leak in one of the schools, or whether it's there's a issue where there's just a school that has never looked at refitting their LEDs, and there's a program called Refit which allows them to fit their LEDs. So having that comms kind of element up into the platform is really useful for them.
Great. And what is the big vision for Serple, or what does Serple look like in sort of 5 years' time?
Yeah, we have a very big vision, and it's focused around normalizing sustainable behaviors through technology. I think to us it's funny because we're all 20 somethings and we went through school, and you don't learn about this stuff at school that much. You learn about it through life more than anything. So it's for us, it's about how do we enable that transition in not just in school, but across all organisations through technology. It's not cool to switch a light off. I don't think it's cool to leave a light on either. But it's that kind of how do we engage people to think more about their actions, and using technology as the means for that movement.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is just the go-to thing now for everybody. You think that, you know, if you want to get somebody's attention, the way to do that is almost invariably digital nowadays, because it's just not practical within a business to go up and sort of tap people on the shoulder and say, remember your energy consumption. So it's, it's, I think, something that's going to just make life easier for people is always going to be the one that that they go for. And obviously, if there's initiatives within that, or indeed, as you've touched on, gamification, then, you know, all the better, I think. What advice would you have for anyone else who was thinking about starting a business in the energy sector, if you were going to be sharing the wealth for other startups who might be listening?
I think it would be useful to have a mentor in the space. I've been really lucky, and I've had a great mentor who comes from he built and sold a gas and leak detection business. So he understands how the industry kind of works. Has been really valuable for me in terms of just knowing who wants the platform that we have. Sometimes it's difficult for us to figure out whether we should stick with businesses or whether there's another route behind that, and it's looking at whether utilities and brokers and consultants are the right market. But it's, like I say, the market is so complex, and having someone who understands it to help you along that journey is invaluable. So definitely find yourself a mentor. I think the other thing is pick a niche. For us working in a kind of an energy efficiency space, energy has so many variables. the amount you're using from a perspective of if you're a hospitality business and you, occupancy tends to be your key kind of figure to pull out of the thin air and say, oh, we've got this many occupants, so this is how much energy we should be using. But it's more than that. It's the weather. It's, and I guess we've tried to build that into the platform as much as possible, but there's always going to be more and always going to be more. If we look at manufacturing, there's so many factors in there, such as food manufacturing. There can be temperature and humidity sensors, which are key to understanding how the product functions and how the product is made. So it's getting all that information and putting it in one platform is difficult. Mm-hmm. Getting all this information and putting it in, I'm talking about specifically platform there, but if I think just from any perspective of the energy sector is understanding the kind of the market you're after.
Yeah.
If it's domestic, we don't do domestic right now because it's kind of a different data set. So it's for us, it doesn't work as well. Most of the large organizations are still on half hourly data. If there's a need for smarter data and live data, we look at how we can implement IoT devices to kind of combat that. So it is a minefield.
Yeah.
But it really is kind of important to know who you want to talk to and how to build those links. And I think that's where I've been lucky with having that mentor to help to guide me along that way.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's absolutely great advice for anybody listening is to, first of all, understand exactly the area that you think you're going to be the most helpful, what is going to offer kind of the most benefit both to you as a business and to your customer as a user. And then also to, find someone who has that experience that's able to guide you along. I think that is, for anyone who might be, anyone who's listening who's wondering where to start, I think those are two excellent places. So, Peter, I appreciate having you on. I'm going to finish with the last question that I ask everybody who comes on the show. What, if any, would be your sort of big bet on the technology or innovation that is going to sweep the energy or utilities industry in 2019?
I think there are potentially two things here. One will be open data. I don't think it will happen in 2019, but I think it's something that we should all strive towards because allowing people to access data in different formats is going to change the way we can manage energy. And like I say, with such a collaborative industry, I think everyone will benefit from that. I think everyone will learn to benefit from it as well. And the other thing I'd say is the different companies that are coming into the energy space, the telcos who already have a wealth of experience in this kind of wide infrastructure and electrical infrastructure space, they're going to become really interested. They already are becoming really interested. So I think it will be fascinating to see where they decide to focus their energy. If it's, could it be public sector? Could it be social housing? It's fascinating to see how they move. So that's really cool. And making energy more mainstream as well. I think there's some really cool companies out there doing great things. I think a lot of people, Octopus's Agile Tariff, really smart. The if this then that integration, really smart. So, I think we're looking at how we integrate with different softwares, whether it's API based or whatever, but that is making energy more mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
Using voice, using whatever it is that is the easiest way to access that consumer is something I am always keeping an eye out on.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with all of that. I mean, voice is something that I've been harping on about for a long time now. I think anytime I speak to people within the industry and they talk to me about engagement or sort of customer experience and things like that, one of the things that I'm always asking them is are you looking at voice? Yes. It's for me is just, I think it will prove to be sort of a defining use case and it's only really at the beginning of its life cycle, I think. And Octopus, again, great case study in an innovative company. I went down there sort of middle of last year, had a look at the London office and sort of saw what they were up to. And it's very, very impressive. I mean, if, little plug, if anyone from Octopus is listening, I'd love to have you on. So get in touch on LinkedIn. But all right. Listen, Peter, I really appreciate you coming on. Lastly, for anybody who wants to get in touch with you or hear more about Serple, where are the best places to reach you?
Sure. So I am easily reachable. I feel like this is a safe bet to put my email out there if it's worth it. So it's just peter@serple.co.uk.
Cool.
But The website is www.circle.co.uk. We're at Circle, capital U, capital K on Twitter. And yeah, just if you found what we said, chatted about today, Ben, if anyone found it interesting, always happy to chat. So.
Excellent. Well, yes, to everybody listening out there, if you want to improve your engagement and just, you know, have a chat to an interesting company that is definitely at the start of their journey, you want to get in on the ground floor with that, then I would highly suggest that everybody gets in touch with Peter to hear more about Circle and their journey. Peter, thank you very much for coming on the show today, and I'll hope to have you on again soon. Take care.
Awesome. Cheers, Ben.
Cheers. Thanks. Bye-bye. Yeah. All right, and again, a massive thanks to Peter for coming on the show. I think the work that they're doing to raise awareness and improve energy efficiency is really important, not only for the environment, but also from a financial perspective for their customers too. Engagement is so important when it comes to breeding loyalty, and when you simply can't differentiate yourself with price these days, and really you can't, building loyalty and creating fans is incredibly valuable to your business and to your brand. Right, that's it from me for this episode. You guys can find me on Twitter at BenjaminL1ND. You can get me on LinkedIn. I'm Benjamin Lind. Feel free to connect and have a chat with me on DM. You can also find me in February's issue of Flex Magazine, which is the newest innovation-themed publication from Utility Week. It's available on their site, utilityweek.co.uk, and I've written a piece on something which I'm very passionate about, something that regular listeners to the podcast will have heard me going on about over and over and over again, and that is the importance of companies building products for voice assistants. So it could be Google, could be Apple, could be the Amazon Echo. We've done exactly that. We here at Hedgehog Lab, we've done an Alexa skill for the Amazon Echo for Northumbria Water's customers, and we've had amazing feedback. So if anybody listening out there wants to have a chat on with me about voice and how to use it, drop me a line on Twitter or LinkedIn, or get in touch with me through the Hedgehog Lab website, hedgehoglab.com. Right, that's it from me, everybody. Thank you all so much for listening. I'll be back soon with another episode of Talking Utilities, and until next time, take care.